Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading for this morning is from Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 through 17. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, and in the east, and there he put the man who he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made a spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is Pishon. It was the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of the land is good. Delium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the world land of Cush. And the name of that third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read along with me the catechetical review found in your bulletin. Table of duties to employers and supervisors, masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their masters and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Ephesians 6, 9. To youth, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. 1 Peter 5, 5 through 6. The epistle reading for this morning is from Romans chapter 6, verses 19 through 23. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at the time from the things of which you were now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and in it an eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the eighth chapter. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered, and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him, and he said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come far from a distance." And his disciples answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" And he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these should also be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people. And he sent them away. This is the gospel of our Lord. We make the bold confession of our Christian faith in the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. I would invite all of our children to please join me up in front. Good morning. Great to see you guys here. Thanks for joining me this morning. Take a look at this picture right here. What do you see? That's a dog. What else do you see in the picture? Is the dog running around? Is he free? He's stuck in a hole. He's got his head stuck in the hole. Now, what would happen if you saw the dog and you just walked by? What do you think might happen? You think the dog can get out on his own? Is he going to need some help? And if nobody helps him, what will happen? The dog might die, right? Or an animal might come along or something. So that dog needs help. If you were walking by and saw the dog, what would you do?
Try to help him.
Yeah, we'd try to help him. Or maybe we would find somebody that could come and rescue the dog out of that. How about this picture right here? What's that picture of?
A cow.
Yeah, but what does the cow have around his neck? The cow is stuck in a bicycle. I don't know how that happened, but what would happen if that bicycle stayed around that cow's neck? Yeah, it might not be able to eat. It would need somebody to help him get that bicycle off because the cow can't survive on his own. What we're talking about today is when we see somebody or something that needs help, what do you think you would do when you're walking by? If you saw the dog or you saw the cow, would you help? Yeah, and the reason that we would help, it's this word called compassion. Can you say that?
Compassion.
Compassion. That means I look at something like this crazy cow with a bicycle around its neck, and I see it needs help, and I want to help it. That's compassion. Well, here's another picture. This one you might have seen before. What's going on in this picture? Yeah, see this little lamb down here? Do you think that lamb can get out of there on his own?
No.
No, if that lamb takes a step either way, what's going to happen? He he's going to fall off the cliff, right? And the lamb probably wouldn't survive. So the shepherd, what does he come down to do? Right, he's going to take his staff right here, and he's going to put it around the sheep and pull the sheep up out of there and rescue the sheep, because the shepherd has compassion on his sheep. He wants his sheep to be safe and to follow him. Well, when I look at you guys, and when you look at me, and we look at all these people, do you know what we see? We see sheep. We're all sheep. We're God's sheep. And the shepherd watches over us, and the shepherd has compassion on us. Now, do we need to be rescued? Do we have a bicycle around our neck?
No.
Are we stuck in a hole?
No.
No. Are we a sheep on the edge?
No.
No, we're not. But we have something we need to be rescued from called sin. You know what sin is. Sin is when I do things that I'm not supposed to do, that God says not to do, and I need to be rescued from that. So you know what God does? Right. He has compassion for us. Turn around and look. Right there is compassion. It's on the cross for us. Going to the cross and giving up his very life so that all of our sins of every one of us are paid for by Jesus. And we don't have to die for our sins. Jesus did that for us. Jesus has, what's the word?
Compassion.
Compassion on us and on all people. Well, let's go to our Lord in prayer, shall we? You pray with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us.
Thank you for having compassion on
us. Thank you for dying and rising and forgiving us. In your name, amen. All right. Thanks, guys, for coming up here today. We continue with our next hymn. Jesus. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father, we pray that you would continue to shine your compassion upon us through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Strengthen us now by the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, we were at Higher Things, and I saw compassion in action. We were walking up to the student center where 500 kids are gathering, and we're on the sidewalk walking up there. And ahead of me, I saw a group of boys in the grass picking up little bitty baby frogs and putting them in their hands. And you can imagine what went through my mind. 500 people in one spot and boys with frogs in their hands. Nothing good can come out of this. But as I watched them, they went over and they picked the frogs up out of the grass, and they walked across the sidewalk, and they took a few steps and let them loose on the way down to the pond. I asked them why they were doing that, and they said, well, those frogs will certainly get squished with everybody walking up to the conference. Compassion. These young boys standing there were rescuing these helpless, hopeless little frogs from almost a certain death of the crowd of people walking on the sidewalk. Compassion is recognizing a need and then doing something about it. Not out of obligation, but out of love. Compassion is when a married woman goes to the nursing home every day and feeds her husband, who is long past remembering who she is. And she does it because she made a vow. Forever. For better. For worse. Compassion is not being afraid to step into the brokenness in our world. Compassion is not being afraid to step out of our comfort zone and to step into somebody else's brokenness to offer them help and healing. At the center of the gospel miracle today, where Jesus feeds the 4,000, is compassion. For 3 days, Jesus has been preaching. The crowds have been gathered, and as they hear the very bread of life giving them these words of hope and promise, the needs of the body kind of went away. They weren't thinking about even being hungry or eating. And now, as Jesus realizes 3 days into this, they'll go home, they haven't eaten, they might faint, the journey might be too much for them. Jesus has compassion on the crowds. He says this, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now these 3 days and have nothing to eat. Jesus' compassion for the crowd is a physical, a tangible compassion for a very real need. They needed food, and he provides. He takes the bread, he gives thanks, he gives it to the disciples take it and give it to them. He takes these few small fish, he blesses them, and the disciples again give them out to the people and they eat. And they're satisfied. And then they go back and they pick up the leftovers and there's 7 baskets full, more than they started with. You see, our God is a God of compassion and a God of abundance. And he provided for the needs of this crowd. Jesus sees the crowd and he has compassion on them. And that compassion drives him into action. Now, the disciples that are with Jesus, they're not seeing the compassion. They're caught up in the process. How is this going to work? What are we going to do? This is a desolate place. There's no Safeway close by. Domino's won't deliver out here. What are we going to do? This is impossible. And they soon begin to realize that they're not going to be able to do anything. We might even categorize it this way. Well, Jesus, we've never done it that way before. And we get caught in the process instead of depending on the compassionate one. They don't trust the very bread of life to provide. They are defeated by the limitations that they see before them. Now, after the second service today, we gather in a voters' meeting, and you will more than likely hear in the voters' meeting of the needs of the congregation. We have leadership positions that are open. We need Sunday school teachers and someone to work with the youth. We need people to help feed God's people, to strengthen them through his word and promise. Many times when the church asks for help, we get stuck in the process. We get defeated by what we see as limitations. Oh, pastor, I don't have time for that. Oh, I don't know how to do that. Oh, I don't know enough about God's word. Listen to what God said to Joshua when God gave Joshua the position of being the leader after Moses. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The compassionate one, the very bread of life, meets our needs through very physical means. When the 4,000 were hungry, Jesus didn't just take away their hunger and give them strength. He used bread and fish and hands of the disciples to distribute those gifts to provide for his people. They ate and they were satisfied, and there was abundance. God provides for his church, and he uses very physical means. He uses you and me and our hands and our willingness to step out into the brokenness and our willingness to step out into things that, frankly, we're pretty uncomfortable with, because the compassionate one strengthens us. The compassionate one gives us the gifts and the ability to serve him and to serve our neighbor. Jesus had compassion on the crowds. The compassion described here in Mark is not just a recognition that the crowds needed physical help. It's a recognition that they're helpless without him. It's a recognition that they will die without his help. The kind of compassion that Jesus shows us there is the compassion when you look at something and it makes your guts move. That deep down feeling inside when you see that woman who's been feeding her husband in the nursing home every day, and she's there holding his hand as he breathes his last breath, and she breaks down into an uncontrollable cry because of her loss. Jesus has compassion on us. A compassion not just for the physical, but a compassion into the very essence of who he is. The compassion that Jesus shows to the crowd is, it's in the story of the king who forgives the servant who comes to him and owes him 10,000 talents. Even though he knows he can't pay it back, he begs for mercy from the king. And the king has pity on him. And the king forgives the debt. Compassion that the king gives to us is a great gift. The king in this story acts because he knows that this man will never be able to get out of this debt on his own. And he has mercy on him, and he acts out of love. The compassion that Jesus shows to each of us is the compassion of the Good Samaritan that stops by a total stranger and jumps into the brokenness of his world, and takes care of his wounds, and takes him to the hospital and pays for his recovery and says, I'll be back if there's any more expense. He paid the total price for that man's redemption. The compassion that Jesus shows to each and every one of us is the love of the father in the prodigal son. The son basically said to dad, I wish you were dead. Give me my half of everything. And he was gone. And he blew it all. And yet the father, he waits for the son. He doesn't just sit in the house and waits for something happens. He's actively looking, because when the son was a long way off, the father saw him because he was looking. He had compassion for his son. And before his son had the opportunity to say, Father, please forgive me, the father restored him. He forgave him, and he brought him back into the family again. If you want a clear view of what this compassion that Jesus has for the crowds and for us looks like, look to the cross. Look and see what our Savior did for us, more importantly, what your Savior did for you. He knows the devastating effects of our sin. He knows that we can't get out from under it on our own. He knows that sin breaks everything, and that moves him to action. Out of his great love for us, while we were still his enemies, Christ died for us to rescue us, to show us compassion. The compassion of Jesus for you is in his death and his resurrection. But it's also in his words. In the second service, right at the beginning, I'll take ordinary water, and the very word of God, and I'll pour it over Lincoln's head, and I'll say, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God has compassion on this child, and forgives his sins, and makes him his own. We have that same compassion at the beginning of the service when I pronounce to you the great joy of forgiveness of sins as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority. I therefore forgive you all your sins. And in just a moment, we gather here at the table of the Lord. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. That is the compassion that our Lord has for us. Compassion is recognizing a need and doing something about it, not out of obligation, but out of love. Jesus has shown compassion to us through his death and his resurrection, through drawing you into the kingdom and giving you these gifts of eternal life. And he's done all of that because he loves you. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.